morning for the reading of the Word of God. I'm glad I'm saved, saved, saved. Amen. That's right. One time for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's wonderful, isn't it? Be saved. Thank God. I'm glad that I'm saved this morning. No doubt about that. Well, I was reading this week and my daily meditations came. I come out of Job and went into the book of Psalms, and God spoke to my heart. I mentioned it really to Brother Steve this week. God had spoken to my heart out of a verse of Scripture. I'm only going to read one verse, because that's what I'm going to be preaching out of today, on the thought out of that verse. And it's found in Psalm 19 and verse number 4. Verse number 14, I'm sorry. Verse number 14, the last verse in that chapter. Of course, Psalm 19 deals with the Word of God in great detail of what all it accomplishes. But I want to read this last verse and preach out of it this morning. So, Psalm number 19, and I'll read verse number 14. The Bible said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Bless his wonderful name and bless that word. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the precious word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus that died on Calvary that we might have life, that we might be saved, that we might be delivered from the power of sin and Satan. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life that you've given us, and the joy of heaven being our home, and the fellowship we have with you down here with one another. I thank you for the privilege to be in God's house this morning. I pray that you'll bless us today as we've come together. I pray for the souls of sinners to be brought to a knowledge of Christ, and God, for your people. Some are burdened, some are broken, some are troubled. I pray for them that you'd help them, give them grace. Some in temptation and trial, I pray for them that you'd give them grace. I pray you'd meet their needs and solve their problems and help them, Lord, in every way possible, and meet every need that they have. Give us grace now as we stand to preach this morning. I need your power and your unction. I need the divine liberty of the Spirit of God. I pray you'll fill me and use me now to be a blessing to this people. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, our dear brother David here is in chapter 19, is dealing with the sovereignty of Almighty God and the fact of God's creation in the world. And then he deals in great length concerning the Word of God and how it converts the soul and so on and so forth. But he come to that last verse and he asked the Lord, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I want to try to preach for a little while on meditation. I don't know as I've ever really tried to just preach on that thought much. And with my handwriting the way it is, I just pin down the thoughts in my Bible and I'm going to have to turn to the Scriptures and read them. But I want to preach for a little while this morning on this thought, thinking upon thinking. Amen. Thinking upon thinking. In other words, what are we thinking about? Amen. What is running through our mind? What thoughts occupy our mind from day to day? You'd be amazed that we was able to reveal it this morning. You'd be amazed at what's running through each mind that's in this assembly this morning what we're thinking about. You know, and I won't say by way of introduction that it does matter what kind of thoughts that we muse upon in our heart. It does make a difference, and it does matter. We ought to be dwelling upon things that are holy and things that are honest, things that make us happy. And it does matter what we're thinking about. It will change the entire focus and outlook of our life if we'll think upon those things that are edifying and those things that are encouraging, those things that strengthen our heart and our life. And so it does matter what we're thinking about. According to our text, the thoughts of David, the thoughts of David's heart, and the words that he spoke were agreeable one with another, and it was his prayer that both would be acceptable with the Lord. Now, you know, when we stop, if you just stop and think about that, that is a tremendous statement. David said, Lord, let the words, the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto thee. In other words, David said, I want to speak with my lips exactly what I'm thinking in my heart. Now, you'd be amazed at the people that are saying one thing here and thinking something else down here, or thinking something else down here, or thinking something here and speaking something else up here. But David said, I want my heart and the words of my mouth, the meditation, what I'm thinking upon and what I'm saying, I want them to be agreeable with one another. And not only agreeable with one another, but he said, I want them to be acceptable with the Lord. Now that makes me stop and think this morning. I wonder how many times that I've had thoughts to run through my mind that are not acceptable with the Lord. And I wonder how many times that the words of my mouth have not been acceptable with the Lord. And may I say this morning, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what David is saying here, David is saying, Lord, I want to have holy and pure thoughts in my heart that they might be agreeable with what I say. Therefore, man will have nothing to say against me. If my thoughts are correct and I'm speaking right, man will have nothing contrary that he might say against me. Now, we're taught from the Word of God. We're taught in the Bible to be people of meditation. We are. We don't practice that much anymore. I'll guarantee you mostly what we read, whether it be in the Bible or in the secular book, we just read it and pass over it, never take time to stop and think about what it's saying. You'd be amazed if we'd just take time occasionally to stop and think about what a song is saying that we're saying. And how the words would speak to our heart if we had just meditate upon those words a little while. But we're notorious for just reading something or saying something and passing right over it without ever giving a whole lot of thought to what that song or what that text that we're reading from might really say. And we ought to be people of meditation. And the objects of our meditation are very simple. They ought to be two things, primarily. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. May I say that if we will keep our minds stayed upon the Lord and keep our thoughts upon Christ and our thoughts upon this Bible that is laying here in front of me, you'd be amazed at the peace, the great peace that we'd entertain in our heart, the contentment that we would have, and the satisfaction that we would have in life if we just kept our mind and our thoughts upon the Lord. If we had gird up, as Brother Dr. Sattler preached years ago, gird up the loins of our mind that we might set our affection on things above, not things that are here upon this earth. I'll tell you, if we set our affection and our thoughts upon things here, we're certainly not going to have a lot of peace because there's no peace in this world. And I'm going to tell you, there is peace in heaven tonight. And God saved us, and He's given us peace in our heart tonight. And if we'll keep our meditation and our thoughts upon Christ and the Word of God, we'll not only have peace in our heart, but we'll have the same peace in our heart that there is in heaven. Somebody say amen. Jesus said Himself, He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Amen and amen. And so our thoughts are to be upon the Lord. Notice David said in Psalm 1, he said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate, not occasionally, doth he meditate day and night. And in doing so, the Bible said, and he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And then it says, whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. And so it would do us well to meditate upon the Lord and upon the Word of God, according to Psalm number 1. Now, having said that, I want to say this. What are some things that you and I ought to meditate upon? If we're going to meditate upon the Lord and upon the Scriptures, there are certain things that I think, and I just wrote down a few. There's many. There's hundreds. There's probably thousands of things in this Bible about the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, I've thought everything there is to think about Him. Oh, for the depths of the grace of God. And for the depths of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the height, amen, of His glory, we have never touched the hem of His garment with the thoughts of our mind. Amen. And may I say that He is somebody that is worth thinking about. Amen. He is somebody to set our affection upon. There's never a man ever been born like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God-man, hallelujah, God in the flesh, God incarnate, came to this world to die on Calvary to redeem a people unto Himself, amen. And He's told you and I to keep our mind and our affections and our thoughts upon Him. Amen and amen. That's right. And people want to think on everything else, automobiles, hunting and fishing and pocket knives and ball games. Amen. Guilty. Guilty, Your Honor. I plead guilty. Amen. But what are some of the things? And I mentioned some things and I'll get to the message. But you know, if I'm going to think upon the Lord, I think I'm going to think upon His conception and birth. Oh, when I think about how the Lord was conceived, Now the Holy Ghost overshadowed that Virgin Mary. And the thing the Bible said that she conceived was holy. And boy, when I meditate upon the incarnation of Christ, its thoughts is higher than my thoughts. It's high above me. I mean, I can't imagine how God that created everything that is created a woman, and then He Himself was conceived within that woman, and she brought forth God in flesh out of herself. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if you can get a hold of all that, brother, I'm telling you, you've got more than I can. But it is something worthy of our thinking about. Amen. His conception and His birth. Well, when I think about how those shepherds came and worshiped Him, I think about how those wise men came and brought gifts and worshiped Him. And I even think about how Herod done his very best while the Lord was nothing but a child to take His life. Amen. I'm going to tell you. And then I see the wisdom of God as God led Mary and Joseph down into Egypt to protect that son and then brought him back at the precise time that God wanted to bring him back to Galilee. I'm going to tell you, we ought to think about that conception and birth. It's something else. It really is. Born in a stable. No room at the inn. Born in a poor place. A rich man dying in a poor place for poor people. That those of us that are poor might be made rich. Though He was rich, yet He was made poor. That you and I might be made rich in Him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Then, you know, I think we ought to think about the compassion that He has for sinners. Boy, I'll tell you, when I think about that compassion for old sinners like you and I, it's just about all I can consume. I'm being honest with you. I think about in Mark chapter 1, and the Lord came to a leper. There came a leper to Him. That leper came beseeching Him, and it said, the Bible said that he came kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Amen. And the Bible said, and Jesus moved with compassion. Here's what He said. Put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Yes. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what a, you can't think about that and meditate upon that very law without going back to that day when He found you. Amen. And going back to that day when Christ reached out a hand and touched you as a leper full of sin, and yet God in His holiness touched you and delivered you from that leprosy and brought you out of sin. And He did it because He has compassion on sinners, thank God. I'm glad that He loves sinners, that He came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. I plead guilty. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I plead guilty to it today. Amen. That's right. Everybody think they got to get good to be saved? No, no. Brother, He had compassion on sinners. And He did on that old, leper that came to Him. I think about those in Mark chapter number 6. The Bible said that He departed in verse number 32 to a desert place of a ship. And the people saw Him and they went after Him. And they followed Him. He began to teach them many things, the Bible said. And He did because it said in verse 34 that He was moved with compassion toward them. And it came time to eat. The disciples said, send them away that they may go into the town and buy victuals. And the Lord said, they need not go there. He said, cause them to sit down. And He took a few little loaves of bread and some fish and break it and blessed it. And distributed it out to them by the disciples. And the multitude of 5,000 were fed. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that through His compassion, and meditating upon that compassion, you know what's going to happen to you and I? We're going to find food for the soul. Just like they did in that verse, we're going to find food for soul. We'll find food for thought, and that food for thought will be food for our soul if we'll think and meditate upon our God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's right. You can get your soul fed. We need to take time to sit down and think about the Lord Jesus and the compassion that He has upon sinners. Then I think we need to think about the commitment that He has toward you and I as His children. And I don't have time to mention all of them, but John chapter number 17 really stuck out in my mind when I begin to think about this. It's the Lord's Prayer, really, for you and I. And it says in verse number 3, I don't have time to read all of it. I'm going to mention a few of them. But it said in verse 3 of John 17, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou sent. Amen. You realize this morning, hey, now don't nobody crucify me. But He said, all that the Father hath given me, said they were Thine, and You gave them to me, and now they're mine. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. All that the Father's given Him, you can say amen on me, cuss me out, call me whatever you want to. But I'm telling you, all that the Father give Him, He is committed to them to reveal the Father unto them, and He will do it. Amen. Better believe that He will. You didn't get saved if He didn't reveal God to you. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Hey, because He opens up your blinded eyes and manifests the Father to you that you might be saved by the grace of God. What a commitment. God's committed to that, Jesus is. Then He went on praying for them. And in verse 6, He said, I have manifest thy name unto them which Thou gavest me out of the world. He's made God's name known to them. In verse number 8, He said, for I have given unto them Thy word, the words which Thou gavest me. And it says, and they received them. Amen. Oh, what a commitment. The Father said, here's the word I want you to give them. And Jesus said, I gave them that word. Amen. And not only did I give it to them, but they heard it and they received it. Oh, what a commitment. poor sinner that's in here this morning, lost and undone without God. Do you realize that Jesus is committed this morning to give you the Word of God, to open up your understanding, to let you hear the Word of God and let you receive the Word of God and be born again by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. That's right. What a God we have. Bless His wonderful holy name. Hallelujah. Make me want to jump a picket fence. Amen. Don't the Bible say being born again? Not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God. Now I'm going to tell you, that Word wasn't open to you on your own accord. That Word was open to you by Christ. Amen. You remember that morning or that night? Go back a while. That's meditation. That's what I'm preaching on. You remember that morning or that night or that afternoon when Christ came to where you were and just seemed to lift your heart by hinges and open it wide open and showed you the vile sin that was on the inside and then revealed to you the Word of God that would purify it and make it clean and holy for Him. Oh, you meditate upon that, I'll guarantee it'll do something for you in life. That's right, Lord, to meditate upon His commitment that He has to you and I. Then I want to say again, we ought to meditate upon His coming back. He's coming. The Lord Himself, not an angel. Not Michael, not Gabriel, but the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of God, the trump of God, and the voice of the archangel. He's coming Himself. I'm talking about that same Jesus that those men saw go away shall come again in like manner as they seen Him go away. He's coming. Amen to God. In clouds of glory, He's coming. You better believe He is. How can we not meditate upon the coming of the Lord? You know what our problem is? We're worried about the economy. We're worried about who's president. We're worried about the Congress and the House. And we're worried about stimulus and bailouts. And I'm going to tell you what you better do, buddy, is find the ark and bail in. Amen. That's right. You better get in the ark and get saved by the grace of God. We meditate and think upon all this mess, and it pollutes our mind and defiles our mind and hinders us from the blessing that God wants us to have. Somebody can say amen right there, can't they? Boy, I like to think about His coming. You know what? When I think about His coming, you know where my mind goes? It goes to the graveyard. Somebody said to a dead place, oh yeah, that's a dead place full of living people. That's a dead place full of living people. And when that trumpet sounds, those loved ones that have died in the Lord before us will get up. They'll get up. Hallelujah. Shake the dust off their burial shroud, embrace us in loving arms, and we'll all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But now I'm telling you, we ought to meditate on the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's coming again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe today. And then I won't say finally by way of introduction. I ain't got the message yet. We ought to meditate upon that city that He's prepared for you and I. Old John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. But then he said, I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't something ugly either. It's adorned to the bride for a husband. Son, I'm telling you, that city's got gates of pearl. Walls of jasper. It's going to glitter from the gold that runs down the street. Amen! There will be a river of life flowing from the throne, bless God, out of that city. There will be no moon, nor stars, nor sun, because Jesus will be the light thereof. There will be no temple in it, for He will be the temple Himself. Hallelujah. I'm pondering on spiritual things this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Not carnal junk. Might be a little beyond some of you. Not over your head. Beyond you. Because you don't think on it enough. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, if you can get to thinking about that city coming down out of heaven. Woo! And sit and listen. And it's going to set down on a new earth. Now that amazes me. Because there's going to be new heavens and a new earth before the new Jerusalem ever comes down. It's going to set on 12 pillars upon this earth. And I'm going to tell you, the gates of that city shall not be closed day or night. The Bible said, and the kings of the earth will bring their treasures to that gate. I don't have time to go on, but I'm telling you, that city is something else. And I'm going to tell you what's going to make it wonderful. Jesus is going to be there. Woo! That's right. He that loved us and died for us. He that regenerated us by His power. Whoa! He that cleansed us by His blood. He's going to be there. Hallelujah. The blessing of it is all of our loved ones that have died in Christ will all gather around the throne. Sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He'll spread a table from sky to sky. I don't know where I'm going to be at that table. But I'll guarantee you I'm going to be nibbling on some manna somewhere. Amen. Now, somebody said, Preacher, what kind of meditation should we have? Well, I guess I better get toward the message and get done. Time's running out already. May I say that our meditation ought to be sweet. It ought to be sweet. Somebody said, Preacher, what on earth do you mean? Well, you can look, if you look with me in Psalm 104. If you want to look there, you can. I'm just going to read it. And if I can find it myself, Psalm 104. We'll find it here in a minute. Psalm 104. And I believe verse number 34. 104 and verse number 34. David said, My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And that word sweet means to bind or to twine together. In other words, all of our thoughts of Christ ought to be braided together. They ought to be wrapped up in one. Oh, that just hit me. Praise God. You ever see a woman with her hair braided? She's got, I look back here and I see Miss Kelly sitting back there and got all that long hair. Can you imagine seeing her hair braided? She's got a lot of hair, but braided. It all comes together in one strand. That's exactly what David's talking about here. All of my thoughts of Him are sweet. There's no detours. They're all braided together like one. They're not separated. They're all in one. My thoughts of Him will be sweet. Now, when I read that, how sweet those thoughts were, I couldn't help but to think about a fellow in the Bible by the name of Isaac. When Abraham had sent down to his land to get a bride for Isaac, that servant of Abraham was bringing her back. The Bible said in Genesis 24 and verse number 63, the Bible said, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I wonder how he knew exactly what time to go out there and meditate. Somebody must have told him something in his heart.
For it says he went out at eventide to meditate in the field. And he said as he was meditating, he lifted up his eyes and saw. And behold, the camels were coming.
Amen.
Now here's what I like about it. Now he had done lifted up his eyes. And the Bible said, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes. So there's Isaac lifting up his eyes. Rebekah lifting up her eyes. And I'll guarantee you it don't say in the text, but somewhere their eyes come in contact with one another. Now if you can get a hold of that, there's Isaac waiting on the bride. And their eyes make contact, friend. Now I'm here to tell you one of these days, as we're meditating on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, we're going to be like Rebecca. I'll guarantee you, he's sitting meditating on us now. Because his thoughts are toward us. And he's meditating on us now. Boy, and when our eyes meet for the first time, you get a hold of that. Your eyes coming in contact with his eyes for the first time. And the Bible said that when Isaac saw her, here's what he done. It said that Rebekah lifted up her eyes and she saw Isaac and lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what is this man that walketh in the field to meet us? Notice she didn't say, who is this man? She said, what is this man? Boy, I know I'm not running very fast. But I'm going to tell you, we know that Jesus is Jesus. But if we can ever get hold of what kind of man he really is. When the daughters of Jerusalem asked that bride in the Song of Solomon, said, what is, not who is, what is your beloved more than another beloved? She said, stand still for just a minute and let me tell you. And she began to explain the glories of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she asked that servant, said, what kind of a man is that that's coming to meet me? And said, walketh. What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. It is my master. Now, if you notice this, when Jesus saw her, here's Isaac sitting at the edge of the field meditating. He saw her and she saw him. She got off the camel and he began to make his way toward her. And her make his way toward him. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Oh, I'm saying there's going to come a day. When our Lord Jesus, he's not coming to the field, the world. He's coming to the edge of the field. Now I'm telling you, the servant of God, who is none other than the Holy Ghost, is going to escort you and I up into the clouds, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to see us and we're going to see him. He'll make his way toward us and we'll make his way toward him. And I'll tell you, those meditations of him and that wonderful day ought to be some sweet meditations for you and I. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Then I want to say our meditation will make us successful. I've done read what David said in Psalm 1. But he said, therefore we'll delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night. He said in verse number 3 that we'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Be like a tree. What success. Meditating on the Lord and being like not just a tree that's easily uprooted, but one that's planted. Now I don't want to upset your little apple cart, but it wasn't a tree that was sown. It was planted. It was put there by intent. When I go out in the yard to plant a little tree out there, I don't just go out there and just shut my eyes and throw a seed on the ground. I pick out a spot and plant that tree. I'm going to say that if we're meditating upon the Lord, we're like a tree that has been planted. And it's got some intention behind it. It's got a purpose behind it. The Lord's got a purpose for you and I, and He's planted us. And if we'll meditate upon His Word day and night, we'll be successful in our life like a tree that's planted that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Things that He does will prosper, and His leaf shall not wither. Hallelujah to God. What a God. And then He said about Joshua the same thing. He said in Joshua chapter 1, He told old Joshua, said, if you will meditate day and night in the law of the Lord, meditate in the Word of God. Don't let this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When? Why is he meditating? Don't leave me, I'm running slow. Why is he meditating? That he might learn what is written therein. Amen. That he might learn to obey what is written therein. Amen. What happens when he obeys it? Then he'll make his way prosperous. Then he'll have good success. Amen. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that meditating on the Word of God will help you to remember what's written in that book. Amen. It'll help you keep it logged in your mind. It'll keep you in that straight and narrow way that Brother Steve taught on this morning. That's right. Meditating in that Word will make you successful. Hallelujah. By teaching you right from wrong. And I want to say very hurriedly that our meditation or to stir up a fire that is within us. David said in Psalm 39, I want you to turn there. Psalm 39. Brother David said in Psalm 39, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. Amen. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Amen. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, that's meditating. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. I want everybody to look right up here for just a minute. You know why we're out of fire? We're not musing. We're not meditating. I'll guarantee if we'll take time at home to meditate on the Lord and meditate in the law of the Lord, we can come to the house of God with a fire burning in our soul and ready to go to church. We wouldn't come to the house dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now I'm going to tell you, when we come, we'd have something ready to say. He said, hey, when the fire got to burning, he said, then I spake with my mouth. Brother Isaac, he said, David said, I had something to say. That I was like Jeremiah when I thought on that word, the fire got to burning. Amen. While old David thought, that fire got to burning. He said, bless God. He said, I've stood all I can stand. I can't stand no more. You know what really happened? If we was all musing in that word like David was, more you would be like Sister Gray was this morning.
Amen.
While I was preaching, more y'all just be speaking because you couldn't help it.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, it stopped the preaching. You ain't going to stop me. I mean, you saying amen, praise God, thank the Lord. Oh, yes, I know. You know what that's going to do to me? That's going to be like throwing a bone to a hound dog, buddy. That's going to be like throwing a piece of meat to a starving greyhound.
Amen.
That's right. And if you had that fire burning in your heart, you and me alike, we could not stay ourselves. But we'd have to tell what's burning on the inside. Tell why we love Him. What He's done for us. How He delivered us. How He brought us out of sin. Yeah, amen. By our testimony that others may believe as well. Chapter 40, the book of Psalms will tell you that. Amen. Now, I say that meditation stirs up a fire within us. And I want to say number four, that meditation will help us seek after the Lord. Look at Psalm 143, if you would, very quickly. Psalm 143 and verse number 5. David said there, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Now, everybody catch what I'm saying. What was the first statement David said in that verse? I remember the days of old. And he's not talking about those days when you used to go out and get drunk. He's not talking about those days of old when you used to gamble and steal and whoremong and run around. Oh, no. He's not talking about those days when we honky-tonked and danced, cussed God, blasphemed God. When he said, I remember the old days, he said, I remember back, hallelujah, the day that I met the Lord, thank God. I'm going to tell you, muse all you want, but don't muse beyond Calvary.
Amen.
Who wants to think about the days when we were sinners?
Amen.
Who wants to remember about those days when we went out and committed sin and wickedness and ungodliness? Adulterers and adulteresses and whoremongers. Dopers and drunks and addicts. Who wants to remember on that mess? What the psalmist is saying here, I remember that old day.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm not going beyond the cross.
Amen.
But my heart and my meditations will be on Him. I'll seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Here's what He said when I'm thinking. He said it'll make me right thirsty. I wonder how many in here today are thirsty.
Amen.
He'll give water to the thirsty.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, let every man that thirsteth, let him come.
Amen.
Oh yeah, let him come and drink.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm telling you, He's got living water for those that will come and drink.
Yeah.
Better believe He has. I'm going to tell you what meditating on that Bible and on the Lord ought to do. It ought to make every child of God in here thirsty to have and to know a little bit more about Him. I don't know if I'm helping nobody. It's more about sure I'm helping me, buddy. You thirsty for Him this morning. You thirsty for righteousness. You hunger after it. Your soul dry. I'm going to tell you what, folks. We're like a parched ground that's cracked and open wide.
Amen.
That it might take in the rain. Boy, and I'll tell you what we need is not a gully washer. We need a good steady downpour.
Amen.
Where those cracks and crevices will soak up the rain. Amen. And moisten the ground. And those gaps and spaces that are broken hearts that are spread open, that the water will heal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And those broken, those gaps are sorrows and griefs of spirit that the water will seal up again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And freighten our heart and freighten our mind and freighten our life.
Amen.
Bring our thoughts back again on Him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when you get real thirsty, it'll rain. Lord, I preached years ago, Lord, will it ever rain again?
Amen.
Woo! And it will when we get thirsty. God, help us to get drier than a bone. It's laid in the desert for 1,000 years. That the sun has beat upon. And all the moisture is sucked out of it. Because the drier we get, the thirstier we are. Somebody said, how do you know that? I've been there and done that.
Amen.
I've been physically thirsty a few times.
Amen.
Walking through them jungles in Vietnam, I got thirsty a lot of times. And I knew what it was to thirst and long for a drink of cool water. And when I got it, it didn't bother me whether it was cool or not. It was wet. Praise God. If it comes to rain, we won't come in and say, "Boy, that sure is a cold rain." If we're thirsty enough, we won't come in and say, "Boy, that rain, that's hot." We'll just say, "God, thank you for the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving rain to a thirsty soul like mine. That I may thirst and hunger after the Word of God." God wants us hungry and God wants us thirsty. Hey, we'll get that way if we'll meditate on Him. Hallelujah. And I want to say lastly, meditating, meditations will satisfy and secure us in the night seasons. Book of Psalms says in Psalm 63, and I'm done right here. Psalm 63.
Amen.
The Bible said in verse number 4, "Thus will I bless thee while I live.
Amen.
I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips.
Yep.
When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice."
Yep.
Hallelujah. You just let that just soak in a little bit. He said, "I'm going to bless you while I live." He said, "Praise God. Amen." I said what David said. Let everything that hath breath, if you're alive, you're to bless Him.
Amen.
He said, "I'm going to lift up my hands." He's talking about worshiping Him and praying to Him. Lifting up His holy hands unto Him. And he does this by meditation. He said, "And my soul shall be satisfied." I want to ask you this morning, are you really satisfied? Do you have everything in life that you want? Is Jesus all you really need? Is He enough? Oh, do we need the world? No! Christ is all that I need. Amen. Bless His name. If I wasn't feeling so bad, I'd run. Hallelujah to God. Bless His holy name. Thank God. Amen. He said, "Now I'll praise Thee with joyful lips, when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches."
Amen.
You can get a hold of that. How many times have you and I been in the night season?
Yes, sir.
How many times has the dark clouds rolled in?
Yep.
We've watched a loved one lay on a bed of affliction and pass from this side to the other side. And leave us as we put their cold body in a hole in the ground.
Amen.
How many of us have watched as loved ones have gone astray, departed from the right way, and our hearts have been broken?
Amen.
How many of us have had to stand over the bed of our loved ones that were afflicted and sick and diseased with a terminal illness, and we knew there was no hope for it. And day after day and night after night, that dark cloud hung over our head. Oh, I'm telling you, it's in those night seasons.
Amen.
That David said, "I'll dwell and meditate on the Lord."
Yes.
And His, "And I'll be able to glory in the shadow of His wings." That is, He'll spread out them wings over me. Now find shelter from the storm while the storm passes by.
Yep.
I'll find shelter in the covert of His wings and be satisfied.
Amen.
Now look here. In those night seasons when He's satisfied, what David is saying is, whatever God's will is for my life,
amen,
I'll be satisfied with it.
Amen.
Whatever it is. Whatever my row is, that's the one I'm going to hoe in.
Amen.
God's given me, and I'm going to be satisfied with it. How's your meditations today? How's your You're meditating on holy things, things above, on Jesus and His Word. Here's our thoughts. What are we thinking about today? We need to be thinking about thinking.
Yes, sir.
And what we're thinking upon. Because thinking does matter.
Amen.
In our life. Let's stand together, please.